that have come here today. Father, I pray that what we have to think about would be used by Your Spirit, that Your Word would be very clear to us, and that You would cause someone to just see this weight that we'll talk about lifted from them today. That would be our plea and our desire. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. As I said earlier, this subject of people-pleasing, the burden of people-pleasing, is really something that I haven't spent a lot of time teaching about and thinking about, so it was a good week for me to do that. And I have to be honest with you, when I saw the results of the voting that you did in choosing which burdens we would be talking about, I was very surprised when people-pleasing was one of the top vote-getters. I had just not expected that, and I'm not sure why. Maybe it's because we don't talk about it very often. But it must be something that's a concern. It must be prevalent enough that so many of you asked if we could address it. So I'm just hoping, not because I'm glad you're carrying a burden of people-pleasing, but I'm just hoping that some are here today with that burden, with that struggle. Because if you are, you're in the right place. We're going to talk about it. And maybe God is going to use this to help you. So let's do that. Let's talk about it. I have learned this week that people-pleasing can become a very heavy burden for people. It can be a load that people carry. They struggle with it. They don't like it. But it's there, and it's heavy. And it causes a lot of stress. It causes a lot of pressure on them daily. And we're going to talk about it and just do it in a simple way. I'm going to ask and answer four questions. You see them on your sheet. About the subject of being people pleasers. And the fourth question is actually the most important one. So forgive me if I kind of speed along with the first three, because I really believe the fourth question and its answer is the key. So let's start with the simple question, what is a people pleaser? And before I answer that, I want you to see what it is not. All right? Turn with me to Romans 15. Romans 15. In Romans 15, first two verses. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself. Now notice there that the instruction is to please our neighbor. Notice the reason for it. It's for their good and to build them up. Paul has just been talking in chapter 14 about these disagreements in the church, about these disputable matters. He talks about how you shouldn't be judging each other, you shouldn't be looking down on each other over these disagreements. You shouldn't be causing each other to stumble when you have these disagreements. And then he moves into 15 and he says, you should please your neighbor for his good, for her good, to build them up. And so here there is a pleasing of people. But the important thing to notice, it's for their good. And it's to build them up instead of stubbornly judging and looking down on people because they disagree. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the next book, 1 Corinthians 10, verses 32 and 33. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everybody in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved." Again, the scripture here is talking about pleasing everyone in every way. But notice once again, the purpose for it is not self-centered. It's for the good of others, and especially, it sounds like unbelievers, that they might be saved. That there is a sense where in our relationship with unbelievers, instead of causing them to stumble, we want to please them in the sense that we treat them respectfully so that we have the opportunity to share the gospel and salvation with them. So the idea of being a people pleaser is not what I just read. The Bible does teach that in our relationships with one another, and even with those who don't know Jesus, that there is a measure of pleasing in the way you treat them, the way you relate to people. But again, I just mentioned, it's for their good, it's to build them up, it's to move toward seeing them come to know Jesus. The motive, the reason, is crucial. So what is a people pleaser? Here's a couple definitions. One, a people pleaser is a person who pleases others just for the sake of keeping them as a friend or making them happy. A second definition would be, a people pleaser is someone who cares too much about whether others like them or not, placing the opinion of others toward them as the priority. And people-pleasing always involves going to the extreme in this. And it always involves self-centered motivations. It's about self. So, what are the signs of being a people-pleaser? Listen carefully. Either you're going to relate to this because you are a people pleaser and you know it, or you're going to relate to these signs and find out you're a people pleaser. Or maybe you'll hear these signs and you'll thank God that that's at least one struggle I don't have. All right? So I'm going to go through the signs very quickly. I don't know if you can even write these this fast. If not, listen to it sometime and put it on pause and get it written down. But here are some signs of being a people pleaser. People pleasers pretend to agree with everyone, even if they don't. They pretend to agree with everyone, even if they don't. People pleasers feel responsible for how others feel and responsible for keeping everybody happy. They feel that responsibility, like they are supposed to be all things for all people and make sure everyone is happy. They feel that's a responsibility of theirs. People pleasers apologize often and are in the habit of saying sorry. They tend to apologize often and have a habit of saying sorry. It's because they don't want people to be upset. People pleasers have a schedule that is filled with activities they think others want them to do. People pleasers are usually very busy. They're busy trying to do all these things they think people want them to do to keep them happy. People pleasers cannot say no to anyone or anything. They have a hard time saying no because they want to please everybody. People pleasers can't stand the thought of someone being displeased with them. And so they'll avoid that at any cost, to the point where a people pleaser will be willing even to make compromises concerning their own personal values. They can't stand the thought of someone being displeased. And they'll even compromise in order to not displease someone. People pleasers try to act like people around them to fit in. They don't want to be different because different might upset somebody. And so they're chameleons. They try real hard to be like the ones they're with. People pleasers crave acceptance, approval, and validation. They're always looking for praise and compliments. People pleasers avoid conflict at any cost. People pleasers suppress their own personal feelings of anger, sadness, embarrassment, disappointment, hurt, because they want to keep up this appearance and this image. And so they just stuff all these human emotions that they're experiencing. Because if they let people know they're experiencing those things, that might disappoint someone. That might make someone feel uncomfortable. And they don't want that. So they keep it to themselves. And there's probably other signs, but these are some of the signs of a people pleaser. So what do you think? You relate to a lot of those? I would guess if you relate to all of them, you're probably a people pleaser. But that's a people pleaser. Let's go on to the third question. What are the dangers? Because there are dangers of being a people pleaser, of carrying this burden, this load, this responsibility that for some reason you believe you have. There are dangers. Because what happens is people pleasing becomes self-sabotaging. Now that's a big statement to put down, but it's important. People pleasing becomes self-sabotaging. You sabotage yourself. The people pleaser thinks that by what they're doing, they're preventing problems and making life easier. Yet what they're really doing as people pleasers is they're creating more problems and making life more difficult. The very opposite. So here's some dangers of people pleasing. Superficial relationships. People pleasers tend to keep their relationships at the surface, thinking that will keep peace and everybody will be happy. They don't want to go any deeper in a relationship. So that's one of the dangers. They have very few, if any, real relationships because they choose to keep them superficial. Another danger is that people pleasers can be taken advantage of. Because eventually, people around you get it. They realize what you're doing. And so they will figure out ways, if they're so inclined to take advantage of you. Another danger of people-pleasing is to refuse to speak truth even when needed. To refuse to speak truth even when needed. Why is that a danger? Because sometimes even kindness calls for speaking a truth that warns, say. But a people pleaser doesn't want to do that because it might upset somebody. And that's a dangerous thing. There was a man who'd had a terrible day at work. Nothing went right. He stopped at a diner on the way home, and he asked the waitress this: "Would you give me a cup of coffee, a piece of pie, and a few kind words?" The waitress then served him the coffee and the pie. And he said to her, "Hey, where are the kind words?" And she leaned over him and said, "Don't eat the pie." Now, a people pleaser would not have included that warning, and probably should. But see, a dangerous thing for people pleasers is that because they don't want to upset anybody, they will choose not to speak truth when truth is needed. And that's a dangerous thing. Another danger is to be negatively influenced by pleasing the wrong people. In Psalm 1, there's this warning about who you hang out with, this warning about walking in the way of the mockers and standing with the scornful. And it's just a warning about how the wrong people will influence you. And sometimes people pleasers will even try to please the wrong people, and those people will start influencing them in a negative way because of that choice. Or, again, the idea of compromising. An example of that, which is very relevant to me, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when Paul is encouraging Timothy to keep preaching the word, he says the time is going to come when people don't want to hear the truth of the word, and they're going to look for teachers who will just make them feel good, itch their ears. And so they won't speak truth in their teaching, just myths, untruth. And if you have a teacher who is a people pleaser, there could be compromise there. Realizing that people will get upset if you speak the truth of God's word. And so you pull back and only teach things that sound good and make people feel good. That would be an example of how a teacher who's a people pleaser could fall into that danger of compromise. Another danger of being a people pleaser is you could eventually become two-faced to people. You could become two-faced. You know, I could have a conversation with Ryan after the service, and I could really butter him up and encourage him and make him feel good, you know, and please him because I want to do that. I want him to be happy. See? But then tomorrow, I could have a conversation with Ellie, and I could say some things to her that really encourage her and please her. But then, on Thursday, Ryan and Ellie get together. And Ellie says, "It was so good to talk to Marlon on Sunday because he said this, and it made me feel so good." And Ryan says, "You're kidding. Marlon said something totally different to me." And the two of them are thinking, "What's going on with Marlon? Was he just trying to make each of us feel good? Because he said totally different things. Which is true? Which one is true?" And eventually, a people-pleasing person is going to get in trouble that way. Because you can't keep track of everything you say to people to make them feel good. And eventually, somebody will talk to somebody, and the cat's out of the bag. And you develop this reputation of being two-faced because you're trying to please everybody and will say anything to please them. So that's a real dangerous thing that you want to avoid, because being a people pleaser will lead to that. Another danger is you could just become a flatterer, which is just deception. Flattery is all about me. It's all about buttering up people to get what I want, And eventually people catch on to flattery and they know you don't mean it. And that becomes a problem for you and for your reputation. And just one more, another danger of being a people pleaser is just good old fatigue. It wears you out. It's hard work to be a people pleaser. And it really wears a person out. Emotionally, mentally, it's a real dangerous thing. So those are some of the dangers. Maybe as I went through some of them, you would have to say, I relate to that. I'm already experiencing some of those dangers of being a people pleaser. And if you couldn't identify, you aren't experiencing those dangers yet, well, let me tell you, if you keep being a people pleaser, you will. It will eventually move to that. And you don't want that to happen. Now, I want to get to the fourth question, which is the most important question about being a people pleaser. And the question is, what is really going on with a people pleaser? In other words, what is the bottom line? Where's this coming from? What is the root cause of being a people pleaser? I believe it has to do with biblical issues. And I've identified four of them on your sheet that I want to comment on. I think all of these, or two of them, or three of them, or one of them, whatever, will usually be found at the root of being a people pleaser. First one is fear. At the root of people pleasing for many is fear. It's the fear of rejection. It's the fear of criticism. It's the fear of conflict. Fear is driving their desire to be a people pleaser. Now, for some people, it's because of their history. It's because of their background. It's because of their experiences. They have been rejected. Maybe multiple times. And no one likes that. They've faced a lot of criticism. Just and unjust. And nobody likes that. And maybe in their history, they were in an environment where there was always conflict. No one was ever happy. And they fear experiencing those things again. And they've decided that the way to deal with their fear of rejection, fear of criticism, fear of conflict, is to just try to keep everybody happy. Don't rock the boat. But notice, this isn't for the good of the people. This is selfish. This is to keep me from being rejected. This is to keep me from being criticized. This is to keep me from getting involved in a conflict. It's for my benefit, see? I'm letting fear guide me, and I become a people pleaser. And we know that fear is not okay in the sense of controlling us and guiding us. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the burden of fear. So if fear is at the root of your people pleasing, you need to go back to that message 2 weeks ago and be reminded of what the Bible says about fear. So I think that's at the root of some people pleasers' choices. A second biblical issue that I think is down there with a people pleaser is the idea of identity. Who am I? My value. My worth. And what a people pleaser has done is he or she has chosen to get their value, get their worth, derive their identity from other people and what other people think of them and say about them. They've decided that's the source of my identity, who I am, my worth, my value. And so they go out to please people so that people will provide for them a good identity and make them feel valuable and worthwhile. And what does the Bible say about that? We don't get our identity, friends, from people, right? We who are followers of Jesus are to get our identity. We derive who we are, our worth, our value, from our relationship with Jesus. He's the source. Our identity is based upon our relationship in Christ. We are the children of God. We are forgiven people. We are fellow heirs with Christ. We are citizens of heaven. And we can go on and on. But for a people pleaser, for some reason, the choice has been made that others will determine my identity, my worth, and my value. So I have to do whatever I can to make sure they think well of me and say good things about me, because that'll make me feel worthwhile and valuable. I think that's at the root of a lot of people-pleasing, identity. A third biblical issue that I think is down there somewhere at the root of this, I call control. Control is always an issue, isn't it? In so many things. And control can be at the root of people-pleasing in two ways. It can be your control. In other words, you want to be in control of how other people feel. Okay? You want to make them happy. You want to keep them happy. You don't want them to be disappointed with you. You don't want them to be upset. And so you do everything you can to control their feelings and their thoughts. Sometimes the people pleaser, if they were honest, would say to others, "Your happiness is in my hand." That's what they really think. They think they can control the feelings and thinking of other people. But we know they can't, right? You and I can't control the feelings and the thoughts of other people. We can't. We don't have that power. I read this week about King Canute. 1,000 years ago, King Canute ruled over Denmark, England, and Norway all at one time. And King Canute was, by the way, this isn't a joke. Some of you are waiting for some kind of punchline. No, there really was a King Canute. 1,000 years ago, he was king of Denmark, England, and Norway. But everyone in his court loved him. And they would continually be saying to him and other people that he, King Canute, was so powerful that he could control the ocean tides. And this was uncomfortable for King Canute to hear. And so one day he had his people take his throne out of the castle and carry it down to the ocean and set it right on the sand by the seaside. And he sat on that throne. And the story says that as he sat on the throne, the incoming tide began to wet the bottom of his robe. And then the tide began to come up and get deeper and deeper and move up on the throne. And at that point, King Canute made this declaration. He said, "Let all men know how empty and worthless is the power of kings, for there is none worthy of the name king but the God whom heaven, earth, and the sea obey." Friends, if King Canute did not have the power to control the sea, you do not have the power to control other people's feelings and thoughts. But a people pleaser somehow thinks they do. And they feel they can accomplish producing the thoughts and the feelings in other people that they want. It's a control thing. And then the other side of the control is that people pleasers have basically yielded control to other people. Right? I mean, they've yielded the control to others so that what others feel or think about them, you know, that controls them. And so there's a whole control issue when it comes to being people pleasers. The fourth biblical issue that I think is the key one, that even the first three are tied with, and I call it first commitment. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalms. We're going to look at these scriptures that are on your sheet. We're just going to flip to them, and I want you to see them. I want you to see the message that I think is very clear, that they're all presenting to us. And when you put them all together, I think you have the answer to how one can be freed from this burden of people-pleasing. So start in Psalm 19, verse 14. David says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." What's he concerned about? Pleasing God, right? That his thoughts and his feelings would be pleasing to God. Turn to Proverbs. Proverbs 16. Chapter of Proverbs. Verse 7. Now remember, the whole idea of Proverbs are that they are general truths. You know, there's always exceptions now and then, but they are generally true. And notice what 16:7 says. "When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him." Now we know there are times when our ways are pleasing to the Lord, it doesn't make our enemies very happy at all. But the general truth here is that when you live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, it really has a positive effect on others, even your enemies. Romans chapter 12 in the New Testament. Romans 12. Verse 1. Romans 12, 1. "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your reasonable act of worship." Paul is talking about this commitment, this offering of yourselves to God, holy and pleasing to him. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting in verse 9, the Apostle Paul, he says, "So we make it our goal to please him, the Lord, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. Why? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." Paul says, my goal is to please the Lord, because he's the one I'm accountable to. In the end, I'm accountable to the Lord. So my goal in life is to please Him. Galatians chapter 1. Next book, Galatians 1. Verse 10. Paul is talking about the gospel. He's pretty upset because there's people going around preaching a false gospel. And he says in verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul says, I'm not about pleasing men. I'm not about winning the approval of people. I'm about pleasing God. And I'm not going to compromise, in this case, the gospel, to please men. Because I'm about pleasing God. Ephesians chapter 5, the next book. Ephesians 5, starting in verse 8. Ephesians 5, 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Paul says living as a child of light involves finding out what pleases the Lord. That should be important. How do you find out what pleases the Lord? He tells us in His Word. Colossians 1:10. Two books over. 1:10. Paul says, and we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way. And he talks about how when you please the Lord, you'll bear fruit, you'll grow, you'll be strengthened, and you'll become grateful. As you read on, those are the benefits of pleasing the Lord. But that's Paul's prayer, that these people would live a life that pleases the Lord. And then 1 Thessalonians, the next book, chapter 2. Verse 4. On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. He's the one that tests our hearts. We are going to please Him. That's the first commitment, not please people. And then chapter 4, verse 1. Finally, brothers, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. Please God. I mean, isn't there a clear message in those 9 or 10 scriptures? All of them talked about the idea of pleasing, and all of them lift up the priority of pleasing the Lord. Some even state, not people, but the Lord. So here you have pleasing God, and here you have pleasing people. Which is your first commitment? The first commitment of a people pleaser is pleasing people. However it happened, they have chosen to move pleasing people above pleasing God in their life. And they have gone to extremes. It has become a burden. It's become a weight and a load that they carry with them. But it's their first commitment. What would happen, friends, if that's your burden today? If you have to say you're a people pleaser, because the signs fit you, and you're already seeing some of the dangers begin to develop. If you're a people pleaser, what's the answer? Move being a God pleaser back to where it belongs as your first commitment. And I suggest if you do that, if pleasing God becomes more important to you than anything else, including pleasing people, that is going to affect the fear thing. That is going to affect the identity issue. And that is going to take care of the control issue. First commitment is that important. Pleasing God is that important. And so, my encouragement to you, if you have to say you're a people pleaser and you've identified that today as true of you, and you acknowledge it's become a weight and a burden that you carry with you and it's wearing you out, and you're tired of it, make a commitment to put pleasing God above pleasing people. Make it your first commitment. And see what happens to the fear thing, the identity thing, the control thing. And if you can get pleasing God back where it belongs in your life, if that's the first thing you think about in the morning when you get up, if that's the first thing you pray about, pleasing God instead of pleasing people for your own selfish reasons, I really believe your burden of people pleasing will be lifted. And I believe there'll be another benefit. And that is authentic relationships. You will start to experience what real relationships are meant to be like. When people pleasing is no longer the only reason you have relationships. When pleasing God is number one. The burden of people pleasing will be lifted and you will see it transform your relationships even. They will become more genuine. They will become deeper, not just superficial. And what a joy that would be for you. What a joy that would be to have that lifted. It's about being God pleasers. That's it. It's not complicated. It's about being God pleasers first. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word. This whole list of scriptures pretty clear to us. We are to be pleasing you. And Father, that's what I want to do. Lord, I just ask you to help me please you, to learn what pleases you more and more. Father, let me know when that desire is getting to a place where it shouldn't be. I just pray you'll give me the strength to keep that number one, my first commitment to please you. And Father, I pray that that will affect not only my relationship with you, but Lord, could it affect my relationship with other people? And I pray, God, that that would be the desire that others here today would bring before you as well. People who struggle with people pleasing and are tired of it. Father, minister to them. Help them to become God pleasers. And experience the joy of the release of that weight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Song is also the special music. It's kind of a combination. At the end, we're going to ask you to stand up and sing the final couple of choruses with us. Not probably a song that you're going to know, but the chorus you'll have learned by the end, I think. This is a Jewish blessing song.